This is season 7 of Sessions, an impossible comeback story.
This podcast is brought to you by Hustler Casino and PokerAds.us.
This year, we play the game smarter, with more patience, and we keep a close eye on those who have stood in our way, those who have infringed upon our journey. Doesn't matter how long it takes, we're going to make it across that chessboard. And when we do, we're coming for you, Nids. Every last one of you. Okay, sound guy, you want to do another real-time update? Whatever you say, man. You're the boss. So, it is 9:27 a.m. on Saturday, April 20th, 4:20. And sound guy was sleeping on the couch. I was in my bed. And we wanted to sleep longer, but they're building a high-rise across the street. So, for some reason, the trucks are always backing up, aren't they, sound guy? Why are they always backing up and beeping? Why can't they just go forward? So, we're up. We up. And after I record this and produce it, I'm going to run the bank. And then I'm going to grab my daughter and take her up to L.A. for a couple basketball games. And then come back down and spend the night with my son. Sound guy, you're going to have to get a hotel room tonight. And then, tomorrow we'll do my hosting in the morning and then head up for Domingo Grande. I need to win in that. And is that a good enough real-time update, sound guy? Okay, I'm going to take a sip of this coffee and then we'll just get into it. Week 15 of 50. I'm so fucking tired. The session. Everyone who is signed up for $4.22 a month or more at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer got a private drop of Sessions yesterday. That drop automatically showed up in their favorite podcast players due to some pretty cool technology called RSS feed. Basically, once you sign up on Patreon, you click a few buttons and voila, you get all my content. Well over 1,000 hours in total at this point, delivered right to your favorite podcast player. In each private drop, at least one per week automatically gets delivered there as well. You also get membership to Patron Discord, a place that enables everyone who signs up to have discussions, play poker together with no rake, bet sports together with no vig, and buy pieces of me when I play on stream with no markup. Having said all that, let's get into this week's public drop. For a long time, these were a review of one session I played. I started out with the lineup, talked about who was in it and why, when I was setting the lineup. Then I just ran through the session, stopping at my best play, my worst play, and interesting hands. And then I gave updates on my yearly goals before saying adios. But as Bob Dylan once said, the times they are a crazy as fuck. So I don't do that anymore. Instead, I'm going to recap all the sessions I played last week. 4 of them in total, all of them on DGAF's live poker show. Okay, so last the Patrons heard in that private drop that went to their, favorite podcast players yesterday, I was so fucking tired that I caught myself talking to furniture. I caught myself saying that over and over. I'm so fucking tired to the furniture in my bedroom. And that's just a story. But also, I did all my work and I was on my way to a juicy 10-20 no limit game on Domingo Grande, April 14th. So, 6 days ago. And Domingo Grande is the big weekly show on DLPS and a very important one for me, not only as I try and grow our channel, but important for me to win money on because I'm deep in makeup. I got myself deep in makeup before I left Hustler Casino Live, and now I need to get myself out of it. And I will, but when you're on a downswing, it doesn't feel like you will. But if you look at your spreadsheet for your whole life, you will. at some point. You just don't know when. So I got to the Lucky Lady and I ate a BLT and some fries upstairs. Just a few moments of being by myself. I didn't finish it, but it was pretty decent. And then went and took a piss and it was showtime. And Randy Pitchford had reached out to me and he was going to play on this day. And that's big in many ways. It gives us credibility. He's probably the most coveted player at these stakes in LA. He's just an end boss. The guy's got, you know, got private jet. He's self-made. He is, I think, CEO of the company that makes Borderlands. He bought the sound guy. You forgot to tell me to warm up my voice. He bought the Magic Castle just to keep it alive. And he's just a really great dude. And he's action. And he's fantastic on the stream. And so, you know, this is an important day in so many ways. And I had said, after I had a really rough week, and I had said, I just need tonight to go well. Just no issues. And just give me an easy session for once. And, okay, well, let's see if that happens. So I start each show out in the idiot booth. That's where we go after we get busted. Anyone who gets stacked needs to go there and talk about how they're feeling. I think it's good. But I also go in there and introduce the lineup each time. And as I'm doing it, Hannah Scorsese and Jensen are scrambling around and they're having some sort of production issues, some sort of audio issues. And I think this is just the nature of showbiz, of streaming, that there's always going to be something going on. But also, we're just getting started. We've done 50 shows or whatever, but we've crammed them in there. We're learning as we go. And it was hard to do the player intros, watching them scramble. But that's the way it goes, and it's time to go play poker. And the first hand, I open Jack 9 of Hearts. Okay, and Fadi, 3 bets, and Randy calls, and I'm going to call. Flop comes ace-7-2 with 2 hearts. Okay, I got the flush draw, just check. Fadi bets, Randy calls, I call. I don't think I have much fold equity here. I don't know what Randy has. I assume Fadi has an ace, and I don't think he's going to fold it on when there's a heart draw available. So I just call. The turn is an 8, and now I've got a gutter plus a flush draw. And I check, and Fadi bets again, and he bets bigger now, and Randy calls again, and I got the combo, and I'm going to go ahead and call. I don't think I have any fold equity. I'm just trying to bink. Sometimes you just try and bink. Sometimes you take your equity and you jam it on your opponent because you don't think they can handle the pressure, because they're going to put you on some value hands instead of just all semi-bluffs. Here, I think I'm just being put on all semi-bluffs. And, that's what I would have had if I jammed just a combo. And I bricked out. Okay. Well, and it was an ace. So just, you know, handcuffed in this hand. And I just checked and folded. And Randy had a worse flush draw. And Fadi had an ace. So I'm stuck 1,000, but that could have turned out much differently. I could have been up 4,000 or 5,000, but I didn't hit. And next hand, I get queen 10 offsuit. I lose a couple hundred. And then I just got queen 10, like 4 out of 5 hands, suited and offsuit. I lost all of them. Just sometimes opening and calling, you know, the small 3-bet, just sometimes calling the opens. And I just kept getting queen 10 and losing. And so I bought him for 3K, and it was down to a nub stack of about 1K. And I got a good jam spot with ace 5 suited. So I sent it in, and Julia from Palmdale was behind me, and she called, and she had jacks. We ran it twice, and she won both. Okay. So I'm stuck 3,000 right away. And yeah, those production issues weren't major, but I was just hoping to have one smooth night in my life, and it's not off to a great start. So reload another 3K. The buy-in's 1 to 5K. We play 10-20. The straddle goes on, but, you know, when you're downswinging, you just buy in. You don't buy in for the full. And, you know, when you've been downswinging in for a long time, you just don't. You just take like 150 bigs and see what happens. And I'm just bleeding off. I'm running into it. I'm running into kind of some dumb shit. Once I have the bounty hand, which was 9-deuce offsuit, and I played it very well. I didn't go for it preflop because I don't have much fold equity inherently. I need people to see a flop and totally miss and maybe call the flop and fold the turn. That's usually my best bet to win with the bounty hand, or I could make the best hand. So, but I just have like, I just small three bet and Solana Ken calls. And then I small bet the flop, and I'm just going to bet big on the turn. And then the turn, he just leads huge. And I have nothing. I have nine high, and it's like king, jack, X. He just leads huge for over half a stack, and I have to fold, and he shows ace 10. So it's just that kind of session to start off. I've had so many of these in my life, and so many of them recently, where people are just like, leading with their bluffs and they beat my hand and it's for all the chips. I can't do anything. I'm handcuffed. I'm at the mercy of the dealer, and the dealer shows me no mercy. So add more. And I limp dark. This is something I do often. It's a good hosting play, a good stream play. I've talked about it several times on this podcast. Limp dark under the gun, or, you know, UTG1 if the first guy folds, whatever. It gets you in there, which you got to be in there. You got to play a lot of hands. And also, it sets up these unique spots that, you know, people don't really talk about too often because this is not a traditional preflop line to limp dark. What happens is someone often raises behind you, and you're going to fold a decent amount. Obviously, you're trash. You're going to fold, especially if it gets raised and re-raised. You're going to call a decent amount. Say it gets raised and a bunch of people call and you have something playable, you're going to call. And you're also going to limp re-raise quite a bit when you, A, have a really good hand, but also, B, think the person who opened isn't that strong and can't call a big squeeze, and everyone behind them isn't strong either, or they would have three bet already. And it just creates so many interesting spots. I've played poker so long that I don't find much of it, I don't find too many spots interesting, but I do find these preflop spots interesting after I've limped dark. Well, no one raises for the first time in history. They all just limp. So I think, wow, I must have a good hand if they just limped, because I'm running bad, and that's when they're all going to limp, is when you have a big hand. I look down, I have two aces. Oh, that's why. Okay. The flop comes out 9-7-4, two diamonds. I have the ace of diamonds. We're going to go ahead and check here. OMB, that's Old Man Beer on my left. Very cool dude. He bets, kind of a forceful bet. Fadi calls, someone else calls. I don't think anyone has more than one pair, which makes my pocket aces the best hand. And it's time to put in the raise after a bet and two calls. Absolutely. I got the image for it. It's a fairly wet flop. I raised to, 400 and something-ish. And Old Man Beard looks at me and quickly puts me all in for my, 2K more or whatever it is. And the players behind fold. And it's back to me, and he just grabbed a stack and put it out there. And it's back to me, and now I have a decision to make. You don't want to be the guy going broke with aces in a multi-way limp pot. No, that's not great. But that's just a general thing. You also want to break down the hand. Okay, so what does he have that he just led forcefully into the field on 9-7-4-2 diamonds, and got two calls, I check raised, and he quickly jammed. You know, he just grabbed a bunch of chips and put them out there, which should put me all in with two players behind. Well, let me take a sip of coffee while you guys think about what his range is. 9-7-4, two diamonds. What's his range? Well, to three bet jam the flop, for value, I think, yeah, pocket fours make sense, right? Like, I have a set, fuck it. You know, you could have two pair, you could have a combo. We're playing for it all right now. A set makes sense. You know, like a bottom set here, maybe a middle set, but then you go back to the first bet, and it was kind of a forceful bet. It didn't want action. And so, no, I don't think he has a set. So actually I'm gonna really discount sets in his range because it didn't seem like he wanted anyone to call when he bet the first time around. And then also the second time when he basically jammed, he didn't even think too much. So he didn't think like, is there a chance this guy or someone behind me has a bigger set or two pair? So, you know, if somehow he has like a bad two pair here, which he could based on preflop, he could be limping, you know, suited 9-7, suited 7-4. He could have the bounty hand 9-2. But none of these hands make sense, both that he's going to forceful bet and quickly jam over my check raise with two players behind and not even really think about it. This really seems like a draw. Okay, but the problem is I have the ace of diamonds. And so is he really just going to put in all this money with a non-nut flush draw? Because that's the worst. When you jam it in there with like a king high flush draw and your opponent calls the ace high flush draw, that's bad. That's real fucking bad, right? Well, yeah, maybe against me he is, and he could have a combo, which makes it, you know, if you got jack 10 of diamonds here and you have a gutter and two overs, and yeah, I could see you jamming. I just have to go through all the filters and decide, no, this is the time to stack off with two aces in the multi-way limp pot. On the flop, I got to stack off to the three bet jam on the flop, and I call, and it's actually $130 less than I have. So we're not all in. Okay. So this is a butterfly effect moment. We're supposed to be all in, but we're not all in. We're $130 short of all in. And the turn is a diamond. Okay. That's not what I want. But now he bets the 130, and of course I call. I have the, you know, the pot odds are 1,000,000,000,000. I have the nut flush draw now, and now we run it twice, and both are bricks, and he had king-queen of diamonds. So king-queen of diamonds is a naked flush draw on 9-7-4, two diamonds against two aces, and it's in real bad shape when I have the ace of diamonds as well. But not only did he bink immediately, but then no rebink on two runouts. And here's just, when you're running bad, everything goes bad. So his all-in was just a handful, and it looked like all-in, and it somehow wasn't $130 less. So if we're all-in on the flop, as we're supposed to be, we run it twice from there, and, you know, maybe I hold on one board. We don't know. But also, maybe if that turn is a brick, now we're all in it, and now he gets two pulls at a diamond, and you know, and it's just, it's just spooky. You just know it's coming, it comes, and then you know it's not coming for you, and it doesn't come on, you know, it's coming right away on one card for him and not on you for two, and that's, you know, that's getting the money in good. Aces against king, queen of diamonds on 9-7-4, two diamonds, when you got the ace of diamonds. When you start playing poker, that's what they talk about. They say that's all you can do. Get the money in good. And I get the money in flipping or good very, very often. I get the money in with the correct pot odds almost always. And when I'm not realizing my equity, it looks bad and it feels bad, man. It feels fucking bad being down 8,000 right away. And I just, you don't deserve anything. You're not entitled to anything. I really wanted one chill night in my life, and it started out the opposite. I get pocket jacks and I get outflopped by king queen. I fold the turn. We show our cards in this game. So the winner has to show because we don't have RFID, because we're not allowed to have RFID. And so I see that I got outflopped by king queen. Okay. And I made a nice fold, you know, just came like king XX and I jacks. And then I get king queen against jacks and I flop nothing and I fold the turn and I see that I was up against jacks. So I have the jacks, lose to the king queen. I have the king queen, lose to the jacks. And then I get king queen again. I call the three bet and I call the small bet on jack nine deuce. And the turn's an X and I fold again. And old man beer has pocket aces. Okay. I'm stuck $10,000. And it's just all standard stuff in a juicy game. And I have $1,000 in front of me. I need to reload. But I'm just kind of also disgusted. And sometimes when I'm disgusted, I just play my little nub stack and just kind of try and breathe and just wait for a jam spot. Well, the super straddles are on. So it starts out as 10-20, but you know, the 40, the 80, whatever, it all goes on. And Randy opens to like 200 and I have about 1,000. And I look down at Queens in the cutoff and I jam. And it gets back to him, and he said, well, I don't know what you're doing. And he said, do you want to goose it? And I said, let's goose it. And this is something that he has done on the other show, and it's pretty funny. It's what we do here is he's going to flip a coin to see if he calls or folds. But before he does that, we're going to show our cards. And so he says, okay, goose. And so I show my queens, and he shows his ace-nine offsuit. And if he flips, if it's tails, he's folding. And if it's heads, he's calling. Well, I say, let's actually run it twice and then flip. So let's see what's going to happen and then flip. So we run the board out twice. And my queens hold against the ace-nine offsuit. So now I just need it to be heads and I get a double up. Well, it's tails, so he doesn't have to call. And so I would have won both boards, but it didn't actually happen because I lost the flip to see if he calls. Fucking, when things are going bad, they go bad in the weirdest ways. And then he hits a pure gutter with queen jack against my king X on ace XX king. So queen jack is drawing to a 10. He hit it. I folded. And then Ken did the same exact thing and I didn't fold because I had, I think it was ace 3-5 and I had king deuce with a backdoor flush draw. And Ken led the flop, and I just had to read that he just was fucking full of shit. He's bluffing. So I call with king high. I also have a gutter, but you know, backdoor flush draw. But I'm just calling with king high, and the turn's a king, and we both check, and the river's an offsuit 10, and he fires, and I have a feeling he just hit that same gutter that Randy did, that you know, drawing to a 10 only with one card to come, but I paid it. And he had queen jack. It's not going well, is it? Well, I got ace five suited. I flop the nut flush draw, and Ken leads into me, and I just raise, and we end up getting it in. And he had top pair, so I had 12 outs, and we ran it twice, and I chopped. Okay, and then the internet or some aspect of production shits the bed. And it's tough, man, when you're pouring all this time and energy into a project. And this is growing pains, but it's just tough. I just wanted it. It's not going to work anymore. And I just wanted it to work. I just wanted it to go well. I wanted to have one night in my life that was easy. And here it is, my show with Randy on it and this great lineup. It doesn't even work. And I'm buried. And I'm down, I don't know, 14,000. And I just never win a hand the rest of the night. I never sniff a piece of a double board PLO bomb pot. I lose the stand-up game. I've now lost the stand-up game twice in my life. I went forever, and I never lost the stand-up game or the knit game, whatever you want to call it, that stupid game. I've lost it twice in the last couple of weeks. And I'm not, you know, I'm a favorite to do well in that game because I win so many pots in general, but sometimes there's nothing you could do. And then I finally stand up with $500, and I was in for $20,000. And yeah, I was very, very tired in the days leading up to this, but that had nothing to do with it. It feels like you're cursed at the table, and some of you listening can relate. And it's the number one reason why I highly recommend no one ever makes poker their profession. Just keep it a hobby. Unfortunately, I depend on it to get out of makeup and out of debt. And when you depend on it and it goes like this, it hurts. If you don't depend on it, it goes like this, you just take a break. Fuck, I'm going to play golf for a while. You guys have fun. Maybe if I go to the casino, I'll play some blackjack. But, you know, when you run like this, it's just tough when you know you got to keep playing. And I got the opposite of what I wanted. Just needed to chill. I hope the show works. And I just hope it's poker. I probably win over 60% of my sessions lifetime. And it's a great game. And, not only did I not win, but I lost, a ton. And I lost every fucking hand. And I was pretty catatonic after. I'm normally incredibly sensitive to others and considerate. Well, on this night, I just shut down. I just, ate something and went back to my spot and just stared at the ceiling and just thought, man, maybe I'm not going to make it. I've been on this comeback trail for 7 years. And I've had one brief stint of real good momentum. And then a Jack 4 nonsense ended that. That hand mattered, but the getting trashed on the internet. I mean, and many of you are thinking, why do you keep talking about that? Man, it fucked me up is why I keep talking about it. And that's what you do with stuff that fucked you up, is you talk about it, and then you can get through it eventually. And at least temporarily, you get through it by mentioning it. And I don't know. So this night, I can't sleep. I don't see any way out. I just, kind of catatonic, just wide awake, but not engaging, staring at the ceiling or turning and staring at the wall, occasionally grabbing my phone, looking at that, just doom scrolling. And then I finally did something I'm great at, and the patrons know what that is. It only takes one person. And I fell asleep for a little bit, maybe 2 hours, maybe three, not sure. I had to get up. I had to start the new day. I had to start Monday, what would that be? Let me scroll up here. So we forgot to put the dates in for this one. That would be Monday the 15th, I believe. Yeah. So I had stuff to do. So just took a shower and headed to Great Clips. Great Clips. Yeah, fucking Great Clips. I'm an American dad. We get our hair cut at Great Clips, mostly because they have an app. And I don't know. I know there's one on the way to Lucky Lady. So I stopped there. And I said, please make me look good, even though I have not slept. I have photos. And the lady says, for what? I said, for work? She said, I don't understand. I said, me either. Sorry. Doesn't make sense. Get to Lucky Lady and I have a photo shoot. There's not too many things you can say like, I am, in history, I am the most this. Well, I think in history, I am the most broke person to ever be on billboards and flyers and posters. I'm on them all over the Lucky Lady Casino. I used to be on them all over Hustler. And I'm on a couple billboards, and they're shooting new stuff. They need new photos. I'm definitely the brokest person of all time. And that's a record that's going to be hard to break. That's you know, doing photo shoots. Fucking 50 years old, overweight, no sleep, fucking can't get anything going. Sure, I'll come in and do a photo shoot. Let me stop by Great Clips first. And the photographer was the same photographer as Hustler, John. He's amazing. I love this guy. And so we do our shots for about an hour, and then we've got our public game. We have a public game every Monday and Wednesday at Lucky Lady, and it's 2-3 no limit. Anyone can sign up on Poker Atlas. It's really cool. I want to give people, the public, a chance to play on stream at stakes they're comfortable with. $100 minimum buy-in. Anyone can play. And you just need to sign up on Poker Atlas. So I want to help get it going. And then I want to bounce and hopefully go sleep. And there's going to be 2 or 3 tables every time we do a public game. Once we're fully up and running, where we've done the messaging to the people that they can, you know, play and how to sign up, and we got to get Poker Atlas right and this and that. But it's a process. So getting one game is definitely a good start. Well, the internet doesn't work. The production doesn't work. And so I'll just go in the room and spew around and try and keep the people happy that showed up to play on stream. And then I get handed an iPad. Okay. And so I'm going to do like a live vlog on this day. I'm on no sleep. I did go to Great Clips on my way into Lucky Lady. And I don't know why, but a haircut makes me feel a little bit better no matter what's going on in my life. And I just got this mini iPad, and I'm kind of vlogging live. And people like it. Yeah. And I am not running well. And here is, you know, an example or a few examples after a sip of coffee. I raised with ace 9 on the button. Sure, it's a hand you can play. Action Man calls. No, I just was calling him Action Man. And this is a cool dude named Dave who plays in the public game sometimes. And he seems to very much have his life in order, and just when poker's a hobby, and he's in there. You know, he's in there every hand, or a lot of them, anyways. Flop comes down ace 7-2 with 2 spades. There might be another caller in there as well. I got top pair. That's cool. They check to me. I bet. The stacks are pretty short in these games, typically. Action Man calls. Ace 7-2, 2 spades. I got ace 9. I feel like I'm ahead. We have pot behind. Okay. The turn is a brick. It's a red 3. Ace 7-2, 2 spades. Turns a red 3. He checks. I'm going to send it in here with my top pair, 9 kicker. And I thought it was good on the flop. And he snap calls. Was I not good on the flop? No, I was. He has deuce 3 offsuit. Holy shit. He's got the 32. He's got the OJ Simpson. And he just binked that 2 pair. And now we run it twice. And he holds on both. So this is how I've been running, and it's obviously much nicer to run like this in a 2-3 game than in a 10-20 game, but it's that Murphy's Law shit. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And here's another somewhat spooky hand. I open with Queen Deuce suited. That's a fantastic starting hand. It can make a straight. Some people think Queen Deuce cannot make a straight. It certainly can. I've seen it. So it's suited too. It can make a flush in theory. And anyways, I raise and get, you know, the straddle's on, I raise and get called. Okay. And it comes, 8-9-2 with 1 heart. It checks to me and I bet small. I thought about checking back, but I bet small. And Felix, another guy that plays in the public game sometimes, check raises to 3x to $60. Okay. I'm going to peel here. I could fold because we're not super deep. But I do have bottom pair. I do beat some hands, which are draws. Probably not against this sizing. I probably don't. But I could pick up a lot of equity, couldn't I? It's 8-9-2 with one heart. I could pick up a flush draw. I could have a pair and a flush draw. I could pick up a flush draw and a straight draw. I could bink trips. I could bink two pair. So I call the 3x check raise of my small bet, and boom, the turn is a queen. Shout out is Ray Lee Ron. I played the queen deuce. I raised, got calls. I bet with bottom pair, small. I could have checked back, but, you know, that's debatable. 8-9-2, one heart. I have queen deuce of hearts. I got 3x check raised. I didn't think it was, you know, by a straight draw or something like that. I think that would have been bigger and more forceful, but so I don't love it here. I could be, you know, in a lot of trouble against a set, but, you know, there's a lot of hands. This is LA. There's a lot of hands you're getting check raised here by, and I called, and the turn's a queen. So I got top and bottom, and he goes all in, and I snap call, and he has what? Pocket queens. He just called my raise preflop with queens. Check raise small on the flop, and then turn the one outer that gives him top set and me two pair. And just how it's been going. And it's, you know, no one wants to hear about it. And, you know, if you're, it's real tough when you're getting backed and you just keep reporting these L's, but this shit's real. It's just like, some people just don't seem to go through it. And some of the, well, that's what you get for playing queen two. Sure. You know, or ace nine, but like, I just look at the equity, to be honest, mostly. And, you know, not realizing your equity is rough. And I'm not making any hands. And I did get one double up. Caesar doubled me up. I squeezed with ace queen suited. Ace queen of spades, I'm in at 120. And it came 9-8-4 all red. But we had like, maybe 2/3 pot behind. So I just went all in with ace queen of spades on 9-8-4 red. And he called me with 7-5 offsuit. So, you know, he has a gutter and two live cards. And I held. And so that was it. That was the hand I won. I lost $300 in this one. Real tired. Headed back to Long Beach and did my favorite thing. Patrons know what that is. That actually takes more than one person. I took a nap and I went to a nice dinner. I just needed some kind of like comfort night, you know, just kind of just get away from everything, and ate a lot and then ate some more watching TV. And I finally slept 8 hours. And then I went to my office on Spewy Tuesday, the 16th of April. I felt off. I slept 8 hours and I felt real off. So I slept 2 more hours. Okay. And I got up and I worked on contracts. A lot of stuff that when you're getting started in a business, there's so much to do that it feels like this business is never going to work because it's so much work. But this stuff, once it's done, is done. And you can focus on, you know, operations and get it under control, but it's definitely not under control yet. And then I need to go to the bank, get some more money, and I'm hungry. This sleep has made me hungry, and all the food I ate the night before is making me hungry. So I go to drive through El Pollo Loco, I come back and eat it, and I put my headphones on to record, and I feel off, man. I don't feel good. I need another nap. So my body finally shut down, and I took another nap, and then I just felt really weird when I woke up. And I was a little concerned with how I was feeling, just no energy. And so I went for a little walk, FaceTimed my kids. My daughter was pissed because she had a bad basketball game, and some girl was talking shit to her and pushed her, and that should make you pissed. And so she's getting on the treadmill, and then she's going to work on her handle. And yeah, and I just was too tired. I put the headphones on again to record, and I just didn't have it. So I just wrote, and I was caught up at 7 p.m. on Spewy Tuesday, and went to dinner with the two most important people for DLPS. Hannah Scorsese, and my partner, Peter the Wreck. And the stress of this startup has gotten all of us. None of us are feeling the joy. And Peter and I are owners. We're not going to make any money for a while. He's put money into it. I've just put in my time. But again, I'm in debt. And it's a tough thought when you start a business. You're not going to make any money for a long time. And that's if it goes right. And really, it's just worn us all out. The joy is gone. And, you know, it doesn't have to be gone for good, but it is currently. And that's what I do in this podcast. I tell the story. There's also a kid. We went to this Korean barbecue place called Moon. It's good. It's all you can eat. They put us at a big table with a family. And someone was letting their little daughter scream. I'm not for this. Like, you know, I think Peter and Hannah were handling it fine, but I was starting to lose my mind and look over at the family. And finally, someone said, "Hey, other people are trying to eat here," to the dad or whatever. And he got his, you know, daughter to stop screaming. She was just screaming, like not like in misery, but just like wanted to scream. And I paid the tab and we headed back over to Lucky Lady. Got three tables of people for this show, just like we did Sunday. This is what I've been getting, is three tables of people to show up. That's significant in this game. You can bring three tables of people to a casino that used to be dormant. Significant. And that's the model of our stream is, let's start by bringing the business and then, you know, we'll work on our craft as we go. Well, the production worked this time, and I flopped a set. You see people flop sets all the time if you watch poker, but if you're a grizzled vet that's in debt and in makeup, you don't flop them. But I did, and I was up against what I think was top pair, and I got the double up. And then I had ace-king, and I made the nuts straight. Holy shit. I was up against top pair, and the board put a four card straight out there on the end, but I got max value. And okay, Spewy Tuesday is going well, and then it starts to go south when I get King Jack on King Jack Jack. It's the board is King Jack Jack XX, and I'm up against King King, the one combo that beats me, and it starts to go south a little bit, but I just dig deep, and not only dig deep, but buy deep. We take the cap off. I add on, you know, it's a 2-5 game that starts out at 200 to 1,000. I think I add on 5,000 because everyone's, you know, got the cap off. Everyone's on tilt, and Dr. Eli's been running hot, and I'm just going to start bluffing his ass. And I get a very crucial one through where I think I raised to like 700 on the turn, and I jammed the river for like 1,600. And I had absolutely nothing, and he folded two pair. But the flush came in on the river, and it was a good jam card. And even someone with my terrible, terrible image can get a bluff through if the right card falls on the river sometimes. And then I made a hand, and I got max value over bet. And I almost got in the poker zone, the flow state, where every time I wanted them to fold, they were folding. And every time I wanted them to call, they were calling. And it was way more the former than the latter. But I won $5,000. And it was 3 a.m. It was time to get some Del Taco. I had to figure out a staffing issue for the next day. And I slept a little bit. I don't know. Not a lot. But I came back in a Lucky Lady on Wednesday, the 17th. And I was hoping to not play. Just get the game going. But you know, there weren't a lot of people here on this day, so I got to play, and I just ran dumb. I'm not going to go into the details, but I just ran dumb. Just, there's $1,000 in the middle. I have 75% equity, lose. There's 2,000 in the middle. I have 50% equity. It's three ways, lose, and on, just rivered time after time after time by the young action player who is playing with no weight on his shoulders. He doesn't care. He He's just having fun. He's going all in all the time. He's rivering me, Cyndi Lauper, time after time. Shout out, Cyndi. And, you know, yeah, it's 2-3, but it still hurts, man. Lost $700, and it's easy to let variance confuse you. Like, oh, man, like, maybe I've been losing these public games all the time. Maybe, like, they're not a good fit for me. Well, they're not a great fit for me, but I'm still a favorite. And I'm still getting the money in, and I'm just not realizing my goddamn equity. And at least I went to work, man. At least I went to work all these days, and I feel good about that, kind of. And, you know, what happens next? You need to sign up at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer if you want to hear that. It's less than $5 a month, but anyways, let's run through my 2024 goals, see how we're doing, get an update on that. There are three numbers, 60, 122, 40. I want to win 60% of my sessions on stream. I did not do well this week. I had a bad motherfucking week. I lost Sunday. I lost Monday in the public game. We didn't do Monday night, make it back Monday because the production wasn't working. I did win Tuesday, and then I lost Wednesday. So I played four, I lost three. Ew. And I lost quite a bit overall. What did I lose? I lost 19.5, and then I lost maybe another 1,000, 20.5. I lost 15.5 overall. And anyways, 60% of sessions, I've now won 16 of 27 on the year. That's 59%. It's close. Problem is, I haven't had any big wins. I've had plenty of big losses. A week ago, I was one card away from having a 15K win. Ended up being a 3K win. I got rivered. And there's just so many opportunities to run hot, and I just haven't been chosen to run hot, and no one's entitled to it, but you see it. You see it all the time, and it's just human nature to want a little taste, but whatever. 120, so three numbers, 60, 122, 40. The 120 is I want to be 120K in debt or less by the end of the year. That might sound like a lot, but it was over 250 for many years after I hit the bottom. And it's at 188, 275. I need to get creative. I can't pick up any more jobs. And of course, starting up a new business is not a way to short-term financial freedom, is it? But I felt, without getting into it, I felt like I needed to leave HCL and start something. And yep, 240. So 60, 120, 240. I want to weigh 240 pounds or less. I just have a very unhealthy lifestyle, just working all the time and sitting while I work. And stress eating and anxiety eating and drinking my sorrows away. And I'm at 259.9. So at least I'm under 260, if you know what I mean. And anyways, yeah, one big blind a month if you're a 2-5 player. We'll cover it. You get the whole story. Or you can just continue just getting the public drops, whatever you want. Hopefully next week is better. Peace.